remember watching Arsenal playing Liverpool in 1989 and my brother holding the coat hanger stuck into the black and white television to try and get the reception a little bit better.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I only ever saw one cup final. That was the time Wimbledon beat Liverpool against all the odds.
Oh my goodness me. Well, there's a memory for me. Jeepers, I'm starting to feel a little bit elder statesman now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the Sod Show if we can.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Friday the 13th to the 15th of April 2018, the inaugural Ascot Spring Garden Show takes place. You may have heard Kate Gold, a former guest of the show, now talk about it of recent. You can go back and listen to that one if you choose. A gentleman, however, who needs no introduction, and today's guest is on the end of the line. And that, my good friends, is Stephen Bennett. Stephen, how are you? You're very welcome to the Sod Show.
Hi, Peter. I'm really well. Good to talk to you.
You too, my good man. Stephen, explain to me, first of all, what is proposed to be the inaugural Ascot Spring Garden Show?
Right. It's very simple. I worked for the RHS as the show's director for many years. And since leaving about 4 years ago, I was wandering about and met a gentleman from Ascot Racecourse. Funny enough, we were both at the Chinese Embassy in London, of all places. And his name, by the way, is Henry Trotter. He works at Ascot Racecourse. Henry said, "Who are you?" I told him. He said, "Oh, we at the racecourse have been thinking about introducing a new event, non-horse racing, the first in the 300-year history of the racecourse that won't be a horse race event." And I said, "Oh, yeah, what do you want to do?" He said, "Well, we had in mind to run a garden show." So I zoomed around to see them. And we very quickly agreed on a calendar slot, which is in the spring. And I came up with the formula, which they adopted. And that was about 2 years ago. And now in a few weeks' time, we open for the inaugural Ascot Spring Garden Show, 13th, 15th of April.
Now, for those who are maybe thinking, year one garden show, yeah, I'm not too sure about this. The way I would put you way up on a perch, Stephen. And when the PR girls at Ascot got in touch with me and said, "Who would you like to talk to?" You were the first name that I asked for. And to your credit, how do I phrase this? It's like as if you were John Lennon, but you left and went and started the Plastic Ono band, to give it some form of an analogy. The people knew a little bit what they were going to get. Do you get what I'm saying with that? And can you back up what I have just said?
I do, Peter, but you're making me sound far more important than I am. I'm certainly not a media star. I'm not a garden designer. You know, those are the people that the public like to see and they buy tickets for. I'm the guy behind the scenes. I'm an organizer. I'm a coordinator. I'm like the conductor of the orchestra, but I'm not playing all the instruments. So it's kind of you, but one thing you did say, which I do fully endorse, is that launching a new show is a very, very different thing from running something that's established and widely known, like some of the big RHS shows, and particularly Chelsea. With a new one, all the heavy lifting is up front, making the plans, putting in the content, putting in all the operational stuff, and promoting it to a new audience.
Well, let's go a slight different way then. If I was to read your CV as shows that you have worked with and shows that you have launched.
I was the shows director at the RHS for 28 years. When I arrived, there was one Chelsea flower show and another 20 smaller flower shows in London. So we had 21 flower shows in London and none anywhere else in the UK. I wasn't asked to do it, but concluded that there was no need to have so many in one city. And I, bit by bit, started to move those smaller shows, which were held, some of them still are, in the horticultural halls in Westminster, out to new locations, which now include Cardiff, Morven, BBC Gardeners World Live at the NEC, Hampton Court, Tatton Park, Wisley, Hyde Hall. And we did some others at Gateshead, Glasgow, and Ebbw Vale in Wales. So I think I've lost count, but that adds up to about 560 shows over that period of time. And the only one I didn't launch was Chelsea, because it preceded me by about 70 years.
There's a joke in there somewhere. Let's sidetrack then slightly, and this isn't where I anticipated this conversation would go, but you have a... Well, I compared this, Stephen, to talking to somebody about flicking through their vinyl collection. Pardon me and my music analogies, yes. But when you flick through yours, you get to turn around and go, okay, this guy knows, he knows what he's talking about. What was the point at which you stepped away from the RHS and the bit in the middle before you then restarted back up with Ascot?
Well, the truth is that the skill set I employed to run those big, everyone knows them as flower shows, but they are major outdoor exhibitions, most of them. And what you need for that is a venue, a date, a time, an organization, people to do the operations, the horticulture, the marketing, press, and promotion. And then you sprinkle it with plants and gardens, and you put in your media people and designers and the nursery growers and trade stands, etc. And that skill set is quite comparable to running any major event. So my peer group, while I was at the RHS, the guys who are non-horticultural but friends of mine, were the ones who ran Wimbledon tennis and Formula One motor racing, Royal and Ancient Golf, London Marathon, Farnborough Air Show. And I aspired to do a non-horticultural event when I left. And I vowed never to run another garden show in my life. Simply because I couldn't envisage there would be one that I would be as proud of as I was with that RHS shows portfolio. Anyway, none of that happened. I didn't get to run Wimbledon tennis or the BBC proms. And rather like an aging actor who has vowed never to play that part again for which he'd been typecast. You know, when the phone rings from Hollywood, you think, oh, bugger, okay. Just one more time. That's what happened with Ascot.
Let me put this to you a different way then, Stephen. Because if Peter Donegan rang you up and said, Stephen, I want to start the Sod Show, Garden Podcast, Garden Festival, pause. And then Royal Ascot ring you up at the same time and say, Stephen, we want to start a garden show. I would be inclined, if I was your advisor and producer, inverted commas, to give myself a title of the sideshow, I would still be inclined to recommend you go with them solely based on that name and that brand alone. As you said, what is it, 300 years?
Yeah, 300 years at Ascot, yeah.
Was that a little bit the clincher in dragging you across?
Well, incidentally, I mean, the point you've just raised, although let's be clear about this, I am totally 100% dedicated to making the Ascot Spring Garden Show a success. However, given my background of running so many events every year in the garden industry in one country, you shouldn't too easily assume that shows are in competition with each other unless they are geographically very close to one another and held at the same time. So you can run a podcast show in one in Scotland, one in England, at the same time if they were not too big, or you can run two medium-sized shows in different parts of the country, but you really wouldn't want to clash in terms of calendar time with one of the giants. It's not that you can't attract visitors to another show at the same time, because even the big shows at Chelsea and Hampton Court, there's a kind of 150,000, 160,000 visitors, and there are a few more people that live in the UK. The limiting factor is the exhibitor base. And if you want the best exhibitors at your show, then you need to make sure they are not expecting to be somewhere else at the same time. That's the issue.
You are a new show to me. You are a new show, full stop. But what struck me was you managed to year one rope in former guests, let me just call them out, Catherine MacDonald, Kate Gold, Pip Robert, you've other names, Joe Perkins and Tom Hill. These are pretty household names, let me call it that. Year one to go out and try and get somebody like Kate Gold, who I would hold in the highest regard, that's a fairly tall order to achieve.
Well, I'm like you, Peter, I hold Kate Gould and the others in very high esteem. They're all amazing, talented, energetic, fabulous people. Some of them I would count as friends, some of them I'd worked with before. The way I did it, actually, with Ascot's blessing, was to engage one of their own, Andrew Fisher-Tomlin, who has got a distinguished track record himself as a show garden designer and a landscaper, and he's involved at the London School of Garden Design. We used Andrew as the curator of the Ascot Spring Garden Show Gardens, and it was Andrew who wrote to these people, and we together brought them in, gave them a site orientation, invited expressions of interest. We invited many more than the six, and from the 10 or 15 designs we had in, we picked these six. And that's how it happened. It's come together really well.
Don't get me wrong. We've had Pip on, and we've had Kate, and we've had Catherine on. I know Catherine, may I open the correction on this, but the year she got married, I think she built two show gardens, and one of them was due to start, I think it was the week after or a couple of days before. Catherine seems to have that similar thing that Kate has, and Kate in 2018 is building at Ascot, at Chelsea.
And Singapore, Yeah,
and Pip Probert is no stranger to show gardens either, and they're only the three that I would know maybe a little bit better. You've also got the APL involved.
Phil Tremaine from the APL, but we've got the five you mentioned earlier, and the APL garden at Ascot has been designed by Claudia de Jong, making up the six professional show gardens.
It's like as if I said to you though, Stephen, if I was to start a show and you were to start a show, you've gone in at Premier League level and you'll probably eclipse Arsenal in the Premier League to put some, well, that's not a difficult thing to do at this moment in time, you say. Maybe the better way to phrase this is you're immediately 10, 15 years ahead in being established, yet you haven't even done your first show as this airs.
Well, a very important fact about Ascot is that quite deliberately, it's launching in a deliberately modest size and scale. So it's only 3 days, not six or seven like some of the others. We're expecting about 22,000 visitors compared to 150 at other shows, and therefore we've limited the number of professional gardens to six, nurseries to a maximum of 35. And a maximum of 60 trade stands. And the reason we're doing that is to ensure that those participants in year one all do well from the expected audience, who, by the way, are all from a very affluent part of the world.
For those of you listening at home, I'm not usually a little bit stumbling in any sense at all. My words are usually pretty crystal clear, he just about says. However, when you walk into that fine cake shop in the south of France, having left, let's say, somewhere in London where the custard donuts maybe are just about okay, and you get that, you know the cake shops I'm talking about, and you can smell that coffee and the fresh croissants. This is literally what Ascot is at this moment in time, if I analogize it back into gardens. But you're also tied in with Windsor Castle, which, again, we're talking about a very rich history, and Windsor Castle dates back to 1711. What's the involvement there, Stephen?
Well, actually, like all the best things in life, that was a bit of a no-brainer. So the background to that is that the Crown Estate, in which patch of land is Windsor Castle, and the three gardens of Windsor Castle, the Savile Gardens, Valley Gardens, and Frogmore, are on the same estate as Ascot Racecourse, which is owned by the Queen. So Ascot Racecourse, Windsor Castle, and the gardens of Windsor Great Park are literally next-door neighbours. And it made sense to invite, and they were delighted to accept the invitation to co-host, co-present the Ascot Spring Garden Show in association with the gardens of Windsor Great Park, whose gardeners, including some of the top pods like the Keeper of the Garden, Mr. John Anderson, are going to be at the Ascot Spring Garden Show offering free and friendly garden advice to show visitors.
Did you look at other shows, Stephen? And you've got an insight or a track record where you probably didn't have to look that far to your credit. But at the same token, did you look at the other shows and say, I never enjoyed that part of it as an individual? That bit got on my nerves. If you put in one of them, I'm walking away from it. And equally, I think there's the plus side of it where you get to play kid in the sweet shop. You get to turn around and go, I've always wanted to do one of those in the thing. Did you have either of those, Stephen?
I never had a moment where I didn't enjoy running any of those other shows. They were each and every one different and had their own special characteristics. They served different audiences and they were at different times of the year, so horticulturally the content was changing as the year rolled on. So I loved it. I mean, there was lots of stuff behind the scenes that the general public are not interested in unless it goes wrong, like planning the traffic management and the health and safety and, delightful things like sewage, drainage, water, electricity, all the stuff under the ground that no one thinks about. So with a big outdoor event, that's a big part of the job. Then there's a horticulture, a whole lot of admin, dealing with the media and the press, designers, growers. It was a very rich and very, very satisfying, I nearly said hobby there. it was a brilliant job.
Let's go a different angle then, just for a minute. For those of you listening at home, if you are liking what you are hearing so far, send me a note at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow or Sideshow.com on the website. And we'll send you the links or whatever you need. Ascot.co.uk is where you need to head. Tickets, I should add, are £20 if you pay in advance. On the day, they are £24. Children, surprise, surprise. A little bit unlike Chelsea, but a la the rest of the shows that the RHS do are free. And times are approximately 10 to 5:30 p.m. You've noted it as a high quality boutique event is how it's titled, Stephen. That does differ it ever so slightly. I'm on the way bridge, shall we call it that, where boutique high quality children are allowed. Some shows don't allow children in, and I appreciate why that is. At the same token, others do. How and what is the thing? Because again, I'll still go back to it and say you have the Ascot, the Royal Ascot name by your side.
Well, let's be clear about some of these differences. The reason children under five are not allowed into Chelsea is because it's very high pressure, it's very full of people, and I wouldn't say it was unsafe, but it's certainly not comfortable for young kids. All the other shows, generally children under 16 or 18, are free. Ascot children are free, but just to be clear, whilst children are welcome, we're not presenting this as a day out for all the family. So no bouncy castles, none of that. This is a serious quality gardening show for keen gardeners, generally homeowners with gardeners. They might have small gardens or balconies or window boxes, but this is a good horticultural show for gardeners.
And this is the one thing that did stand out to me, Stephen. You have the Young Gardener of the Year competition.
Yes.
Do you want to go a little bit in detail on that?
Yeah, we set out to assemble six professional gardens, which we've done. And then there was an opportunity a couple of months ago to talk to our friend David Dominey, who had been running the Young Gardeners of the Year competition in association with the Prince's Foundation. And that was formerly held at a venue in London. We have scooped up the whole thing. Ascot Racecourse have sponsored it. And David has organized six horticultural colleges, effectively, to be the exhibitors. So these six gardens, the student gardens, are being designed and built by youngsters under the tutelage of their respective horticultural colleges. So we've now got 12 gardens at Ascot, which is double the number we set out to do.
How do I ask this, Stephen, without being in any way disrespectful to you, but are you under a little bit of pressure, Peter says to himself in his own head, and or are you a little bit like myself where you impose that pressure upon yourself, and there is a grave difference between the two?
I work well under pressure. Give me too much time and I'm hopeless, but I work well under pressure. I don't feel stress. And a lot of it is in the planning and asking all the what-if questions. You know, if you organize an event well, nothing goes wrong. But no, I'm not under pressure, Ascot, mainly because what causes a lot of pressure and stress with an event is the operational side. It's not the show gardens, it's not the designers, it's not the horticulture, it's the operational delivery. And Ascot Racecourse is well endowed and blessed with every piece of kit and equipment you could ever dream about. It's got a railway station right across the road, tons of free car parks. It's got hard surface roads, drains, all the list I rattled off earlier, sewage, drainage, water, electricity, kitchens, restaurants, perimeter fence, turnstiles. All the things you would normally need to bring in for an outdoor event are at the racecourse permanently. So that's a massive amount of pressure that we're not dealing with. And there's a full-time team of staff there who are exceptionally professional, very good at their jobs, finance, marketing, HR, press, PR, marketing. So all the infrastructure is at Ascot, and that massively reduces the pressure.
And then without taking away from the shiny thing on the outside, you don't have to bring in the stalls and the kitchens, and you also don't have to bring in the, let's call them, bathroom facilities.
There are more bathroom facilities at Ascot than you have ever dreamt about. It is a very well-equipped site in terms of the infrastructure and services, and internationally well-known for their superb offering in terms of catering, and we're doing a lovely classic afternoon tea as a kind of headline offer for the garden show.
Now, I wanted to get into that with you because there are two things that I am a big fan of, Stephen, and one is, as we discussed before we came on air, a good pint of
Guinness
and a Middleton Very Rare to go with two lumps of ice if you're pouring, please.
I'm with you on both of those, Peter. Yeah.
Thank you so much, my good man. We're going to get on like a house on fire.
We should have done this interview in a pub in Dublin.
No, we should have done it in a pub in Dublin. And when we were in the pub in Dublin, I would have, or you would have turned around and said, we should also do this in Royal Ascot, just for the sake of experiencing that fine dining. But when you say fine dining, and I'll go back to that analogy that I made to you about the cake shop in France and Peter just falling in love and not realizing, and this is a true story, not realizing that the woman who was by my side had actually walked away while I was still looking in the window at the cake shop. How good is the fine dining at Ascot?
It's the best in the UK of all major event catering. Ascot have got a huge production kitchen, one of the world's biggest catering companies. Sodexo is actually based at Ascot. That's where the offices and production kitchens are. They've got masses of facilities, so they can churn out, well, put it this way, we're expecting 6,500-7,000 people a day to the inaugural Ascot Spring Garden Show. They run 24, 28 race days a year, five of which are in mid-late June, Royal Ascot, where they can soak up to 60 or 65,000 people a day for 5 days and cater for them. So with that kind of muscle behind them, dealing with this event is relatively easy, and the expertise is there from the chefs and the catering staff and the serving staff. They've got fabulous facilities, and there'll be a wide range of delicious food and drink on offer at the Ascot Spring Garden Show.
Yeah, I don't mean to big you up, Stephen, and I'm not being paid to say nice things about you. I'm already sold. My private jet arriving across to bring me for Guinness and Middleton Very Rare, slightly aside, Stephen. I want to just dwell on the nurseries and exhibitors, and they don't always get a mention, but good friends of the show, Rob and Rosemary Hardy, are amongst those who are exhibiting. You've got a good name and a good range of people in there, from Alitex to, again, Hardy's to... How did you manage to, again, drag all those... Oh, you've got a Hampshire Carnivorous Plants in, another former guest of the show.
Well, I mean, that's what I do. They're all people I've worked with for many years. We set ourselves a limit in terms of the nurseries, maximum 35. I looked at the... there are 200 or 300... There are thousands of nurseries in the UK. There are 200 or 300 who can both grow and show plants at events. And it became obvious that there are quite a number of them who in mid-April are not doing anything else in the UK. And April, obviously, spring, a really important time for horticulture and gardening. So assembling them was relatively easy. We had a consultation day with a bunch of nursery exhibitors, including Rob Hardy and some of the others, and that helped to consolidate the date and the formula of the show. We did the same with the consultation day with a number of trade stands, and as you've said, we've got some really, really big names in there. And did a similar exercise with the garden designers. So they all helped to shape and confirm the plans for this event, and they all feel very much part of it. And yeah, it's a really, really good lineup of superb exhibitors.
Are you doing the speakers' tents type affair, Stephen?
Yes. Well, we don't really need any tents at this show. There's no big floral marquee.
My
because
apologies.
There's tons of... it is an open-air show, but there's also lots of covered space. So half the show is out on the lawns on the south side of the grandstand in the open, and there will be a sprinkling of what we call Chinese hats, little white pagodas, to shelter the plant stock of the nurseries. And we're using the huge sweep of the front deck of the grandstand also as part of the show. So it'll be half in the grandstand, half out on the lawns. And in the grandstand, undercover, no need for a tent, we're putting a big talk theatre in, headlined by David Dominy. We've got Simon Lysette, John Anderson, the keeper of the gardens at Windsor Great Park, and others who will be giving free talks on all 3 days.
I get the impression that when I'm supposed to go to Ascot, ladies always seem to dress a little bit more eloquently than the gentlemen, no disrespect, or maybe it's just a little bit more difficult. And I've got four sisters, and my mom never walked out the door unless she looked pristine in some format or other. Is it a case of that I should dress in the manner in which I expect one should when heading to Ascot? Do you get where I'm coming from on that?
I do. Well, this is not, the dress code is not that of the royal enclosure at Royal Ascot with tails and top hats. It's nothing like that. I would say the dress code is smart casual. This is an outdoor event, so the most important thing is sensible shoes. Please, ladies, no heels. And just dress for a garden show. A light mac is more convenient than an umbrella, you want both your hands free for buying plants. There is no strict dress code. Now, as you say, the lady certainly will dress up if they want to. And actually, there are lots of very elegant gentlemen involved in horticulture, Peter. So,
oh, like myself, Stephen.
Of course, Peter. Like you.
Ah, for God's sake. Stephen, when you close your eyes, I can do this with gardens, and this sounds a little bit silly, but there's a field opposite my house, a barley field, like you might see in some kind of a rock star, superstar video. When I stand out there in the middle of it, I can close my eyes, I can picture 20 metres by 10, 10 metres by 8, I can place the open on two sides and then the backdrop into it, and I can see visually in my head that I'm walking through this space, essentially what the visitor is going to experience. Have you done that on one hand with the show gardens that are about to go into the Ascot Spring Show, and number two, have you done it with the show as an overall, which is a slightly larger thing again?
What you've just described is a skill that you guys as garden designers need. It's the dimensions of a specific plot and how it feels from the inside and how people will view it from the outside. I'm not a designer. I don't pretend to have that kind of skill. Of course, I've seen thousands of them, but My main contribution is to put my arms around the whole event.
The Ascot Spring Garden Show, it runs from Friday 13th to the 15th of April 2018. Tickets are on sale as we speak. My huge thanks to Liz and Jane, based at Ascot, and also to our guest on today's show, Stephen Bennett. Stephen, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, my man, and fingers crossed I'll get to see you in April, after which we shall adjourn to our dining quarters and have some Middleton Very Rare and, fingers crossed, a decent pint of Guinness.
I would enjoy that, Peter. It's been really, really great talking to you.
Thank you so much, my good man. For you listening at home, hey, listen, what can I say? Thank you so much. I know the Sideshow was in the top 10 iTunes in the UK charts, and a note was put to me saying, Peter, you've done well, and I put it back to two things. Number one, you listening, and number two, you who took the time to come on the show and talk to me. Stephen, thanks so much again. And you might pass on my best to the ladies.
I will do, Peter, and we'll see you in April. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Stephen.
I enjoyed that.